Welcome, comrades. You are in tune to Poet Radio on WGXC. My name is Chris. I'm the host of this monthly program. And we're here this month, February 2021, in the midst of our 10th anniversary pledge drive. And we host these pledge drives a couple of times a year because we need to raise money to keep the station on the air. I'll be talking a bit more about this pledge drive and our needs as the program goes on. And I hope you'll be able to join us to keep community radio vital in the Hudson Valley. WGXC has more than 100 volunteer programmers working to share music, conversation, information, and ideas around the clock. And as always, we're looking for sustaining supporters to keep this vital resource on the air. When it comes time to do pledge shows, I try to find something special to pull out of the vaults. And I've been on a bit of a jag now. The last three programs have pulled materials from my archive, and we're going to continue on that vein today. I'm going to present some recordings that I made and co-made of a great American poet, Allen Ginsberg, this evening, including recordings that I made in Hudson, New York, of Ginsberg. So hopefully you get into that. And I want to remind you, as part of the pledge drive, that the address to go online to make a donation is wgxc.org/donate. We're looking for sustaining supporters who give monthly pledges. Small pledges usually to add up over time, or you can make a one-time donation to the station at that website as well. So the first recordings I'm going to play, and probably the last ones on the show as well, are from a reading that took place in New York City. It was an event that was a benefit for the Gargoyle Mechanique Laboratory and We Press. A number of poets read. It was Roddy Potter, myself, Wanda Phipps, Andy Clausen, Stephen Taylor, and the highlight of the show was a performance by Allen Ginsberg. And just coincidentally, on that day, Ginsberg had received in a manuscript, I think it was from City Lights Books, some poems that Jack Kerouac had written. And so Ginsberg spent the entire reading performing Kerouac poems. And that is what we will be listening to right now.
Well, I have songs and poems, but I've received in the mail today a really astonishing manuscript that I'd like to read from. I haven't heard or read for 22 years. I'm supposed to write a preface to it. It's called Poems All Sizes, Other Odd Poems Loose, Other Than Blues, which are strictly disciplined one notebook page, small chorus sizes. These are just regular poems by Jack Kerouac. So these are unpublished poems by Kerouac to be read aloud, I think, for the first time, except maybe 1959, 60, 61, when Kerouac was reading in the village, beginning with poems of the Buddhas of old. This is probably about 62, 63, written for Gary Snyder, signed by Jean-Louis Kerouac. The boys, one, yeah, light, more light, yeah. The boys were sitting in a grove of trees, listening to Buddy explaining the keys. Boys, I say the keys, because there's lots of keys, but there's only one door, one hive for the bees. So listen to me, and I'll try to tell all as I heard it long ago in the Pure Land Hall. Life is like a dream. You only think it's real, because you're a born sucker for that kind of deal. But if the truth was known, you ain't here no how, and neither am I nor that cow and sow. You see across the field one standing silently, the other rutting regretfully, ragefully, in essence, so quietly. For you good boys with wine-soaked teeth that can't understand these words on a heath, I'll make it simpler, like a bottle of wine and a good wood fire under the stars divine. Now listen to me, and when you have learned the Dharma of the Buddhas of old and yearned to sit down with the truth under a lonesome tree in Yuma, Arizona, or anywhere you might be, don't thank me for telling what was told me. This is the wheel I'm turning. This is the reason I be. Mind is the maker, for no reason at all, of all this creation created to fall. Two, who played the cruel joke on bloke after bloke, packing like a rat across this desert flat? Asked Montana Slim, gesturing to him, the buddy of the men in this lion's den. Was it God got mad like an Indian cat who was only a giver, crooked like a river? Give you a garden, let the fruit harden, then comes the flood and the loss of your blood? Pray tell us, good buddy, and don't make it muddy, who played this trick on Harry and Dick? And why is so mean the eternal scene? Just what's the point of this whole joint? Replied the good buddy, so now the bird's asleep and the airplane gone, let's all listen deep. Everybody silent, including me, to catch the roar of eternity. That's ringing in our ears never endingly. You hear it, Tom, Dick, and Harry Lee? You hear it, Slim, from old Montana? You hear it, Big Daddy and Raggedy Dan? You know what I mean when I say eternity? You heard it in your crib, shh, infinity. Up spoke Big Daddy from Baltimore, an enormous Negro forevermore. You mean that shushing and that fussing, the slushing in my ears for all these years? When I was so high, just a little guy, I thought it was me in the whispering sea. I asked my ma'am about that jam. She didn't say nothing. She sewed the button. It was quiet and late in the afternoon, at the afternoon grate. Her face showed no sign of that whispering line. But as we sat waiting, instead of a beating, the noise got to roar like an opening door, that opened my head like if I was dead. And the only thing alive was that booming jive. And we looked at each other, child and mother, like waking from a dream in a spirit stream. Well spoken, Big Daddy, cried the buddy real glad. This proves that you know and you'll never be sad. For that was the sound that we all hear now, and I want you to know it's no sound, no how. But the absence of sound, clear and pure, the silence now heard in heaven for sure. What's heaven? By nirvana mean I? This self-same no sound, silence, sigh. Eternal and empty of sound and things, and all thieving rivers and complaining brings. For if we can sit here on this river bottom sand, and come to see and understand that we got in us ability to hear holy emptiness beyond the ear, and block our ears and hear inside, and no taint here nor there the tide, but everywhere, inside, outside, all throughout, mind's dream, Slim, what you griping about? Imaginary rivers and gardens too, a movie in the mind of me and you. The point of this whole joint is stop, sit, and thee anoint with teachings such as these and more to find the key out this dark corridor, the effulgent door, the mysterious knob, the bright room gained is the only job. The boys was pleased and rested up for more, and Jack cooked mush in honor of the door. This sound all right?
Yeah,
that sounds good. Yeah. So, as you know, Jack Kerouac was supposed to have been a terrible reactionary in his old age. However, if in 1961, when he went to Harvard, or around that time, he said, I ain't afraid of Mao Zedong, at a time when most of the new left that was accusing of being right-wing was carrying around pictures of the dictator Mao, who was just then sending tens of millions of people to work camps in Xinjiang. So this is Chinese poem song 1961. Oh, I today, sad as Chu Yuan, stumbled to the store in broiling Florida, October, morning heat cursing for my wine, sweating like rain, and came to my chair weak and crumbling, wondering if I'm crazy at last. Oh, Chu Yuan, no suicide. Wine, please, wine. What should we all do? All knowing we're dying, without wine to guide us to winking at death and life too. My heart belongs to Chinese poets and their scrolls. We can't just die. Men need wine and poetry at least. Oh Mao, poet Mao, not boss Mao. Here in America, wine is laughed at and poetry a joke. death's a grim reminder to everybody already dead, crashing in cars all around here. Here men and women dryly scowl at poets' sad attempts to make our lot a whole lot lesser. I, a poet, suffer even for bugs I find upside down dying in the grass. So I drink wine alone. I shudder to think how dead the astronauts are going to a dead moon of no wine. All our best men are laughed at in this nightmare land, but the newspapers preen in virtue. Throughout the world, the left and right, the east and west, are both vicious. The happy old wine biber is gone. I want him to reappear, for modern China preens in virtue too, for no better reason than America. Nobody has respect for the cat asleep, and I am hopelessly inadequate in this poem. Nobody has respect for the self-centered, irresponsible wine invalid. Everybody wants to be strapped in a hopeless space suit where they can't move. I urge you, China, go back to Li Po and Dao Yuanming. What am I talking about? I don't know. I'm sick today. I didn't sleep all night. Walked stumbling in the field to get wine. Now I'm drinking it. I feel better and worse. I have something to say to Mao and the poets of China that won't come out. It's all about how America ignores poetry and wine, and so does China, and I'm a fool without a river and a boat and a flower suit, without a wine shop at dawn, without self-respect, without the truth. But I'm a better man than all of you. That's what I wanted to say. Letter to Allen, 1955. I don't want to see no Senora de Huever from Chiapas. What I got to do is mid jungles and boogs, bogs, malaria, frogs, bulls, volcanoes, hammocks of no rest hung in trees of antiquity full of moss and bacteria. Want to go, I do, to sweet Watsonville, sleep in the river of the Chiari. However, Garver and I do hereby formally request for Robert Levine's Mazatlan address. Pax, I demand that the human race cease multiplying its kind and bow out. I advise it. And as punishment and reward for making this plea, I know I'll be reborn the last human. Everybody else dead, and I'm an old woman roaming the earth, groaning in caves, sleeping on mats. And sometimes I'll cackle, sometimes pray, sometimes cry, eat and cook at my little stove in the corner. Always knew it anyway, I'll say, and one morning won't get up from my mat. The Sea Shroud. This is a recap on Dr. Sachs, but done in the form of a Brooklyn seaweed monster called the Sea Shroud, illustrated, incidentally. The Sea Shroud comes out of the slip of water in Brooklyn Harbor. Night, it emerges from a submerged tug right from the enamel underwear of the pilot's cabin. Right through up comes the shroud head, a draining drape of wet, weedy, watery sea net spray, ephemeral, climbing to knock knees against the bow and make a bit on the dock, And come on vanishing instead, reappearing as a man with a briefcase on Borrow Hall, saying nothing with a watery face, saying nothing with an oo-goo mouth, saying nothing with a listening nose, saying nothing with a question mark mouth, saying nothing, the briefcase full of seaweed. What happens to floating bonds when they get in the hands of the drape? Sea Shroud, turning Chinese food to seaweed in his all abominable bag. Shroud, the taker of widows' monies in red allies of shame and stage doors. Purple Lagoon, Goon Shroud departs, gloving the money. Earlier in the day, he'd perched atop a flagpole in a parking lot on the waterfront and looked around to see which way Borrow Hall, which way the little white doves. Him. I think this may be repeated from Scattered Poems, but I'm not sure if this was ever published. And when you showed me, it's called Him, H-Y-M-N. And when you showed me Brooklyn Bridge in the morning, ah, God, and the people slipping on ice in the street, twice, two different people came over, going to work, so earnest and triful, clutching their pitiful morning daily news, slip on the ice and fall, both inside of 5 minutes, and I cried. That's when you taught me tears. Ah, God in the morning, ah, thee. and me leaning on the lamppost, wiping eyes. Nobody's knowed why I cried or would have cared anyway, but oh, I saw my father and my grandfather's mother and the long lines of chairs and tear sitters and dead. Ah, me, I know, God, you had better plans than that. So whatever plan you have for me, splitter of majesty, make it short, brief, make it snappy. Bring me home to the eternal mother today, at your service anyway, and until. We'll have no more jots and tittles. We'll have no more leaves broken off at the base of the stem. That means we'll have no more jots and tittle, more leaves like that. More gold and snow and show. But don't be fooled, kiddies. The white screen is still a white screen, and the movie about monkeys you see there in the vines and the Berkeleys is projected by the spectral Honogrank machine known as Chaplin. Another name for film. Tall come from ether, and 'tis either that or what? What, but, bop, go on, bop, wallflower? Nay, Jack in the Middle, mass everything. There's a tomato plant in this mad garden of yours, Allen Ginsberg, that grew 6 feet tall and ran along the high weed with its empty reed middle, the nature of which is as empty as the sun that follows two guys walking away from the same poor pond, and I seen the secret of the ant, which is, to them, sand is boulders, and the boulders are pure, empty gold. Berkeley, song in F major. And Philip Whalen wrote a reply to this, a big high song for somebody. Farewell to my babies. Walt Whitman is striding down the mountain of Berkeley, where with one step he abominates and destroys the whole atomic laboratory, wherein it becomes a jewel in his heel, O Elohim. With one quick look, his belly golden bull, he turns Miss Machiot to butter. One quick look eats up the fairies and robbers in Robbie's coffee saloon. On he goes. Wild hat, big white beard, 15 feet tall. No more long stew. Why? Isn't he hungry? He eateth no more. This is the final end. He bears the 32 marks of perfection. He's on his way to Oakland, the cesspool of the coast, where beyond the dumps I see telephone poles 100 miles high with invisible wires of transcendency. Walt! Jack! Then across the blue bay gold step, the Isle of Alcatraz, white eyes of lovely criminals, hatred beaches, dops, pails, pockets, buckets, stores, sleeping bags, gold gates, and the fog which Jesus sendeth up from by Japan, the Alaskan seal rock territory known as Potato. It all adds up to roll or royal, one. Walt Bluebeard Handsome Whitman, farewell. For he also strides to east and gobbles up Burma and tits in the mock-top peaks of Tibet. Returning, like sun, the shield, around the other side, where first we thought we saw him visioning down the shuddering mount of Berkeley's atomic test laboratory full of mice and men. And it's snowing this sunny morning, and the grass blade, so celebrate, jostles slowly like a woman's beautiful breast, side to side, in the peep show of eternality and salvation and snuff, this parsimonious prep tittle all day.
Allen Ginsberg reading at Gargoyle Mechanique Laboratory, Avenue B, New York City, December 1991. That's the first half of his set on that occasion. And as some of you know, Allen Ginsberg was a teacher of mine in the very first program I ever did on very first poet radio program I ever did on WGXC feature, the reading he gave at Columbia Green Community College, Columbia Green, in April 1994. And I think of Ginsberg quite a bit. I mean, especially since we're kind of in the fall of America, and he was such a profound teacher. And then I think the reason I brought him out this month partially had to do with another WGXC programmer, Thatcher Keats, who's a fantastic program, Rancho Thatchmo, is aired on, I think it's the first Sunday of every month. And Thatcher's got some very interesting content on his show. And one of the things he contacted me a few weeks ago saying that he was trying to get, he wanted to air recordings of people's journal entries, and I didn't know how interesting that would be. But then I remembered I had these journals from when I was a student of Ginsberg. He liked the idea. And so if you go to the Rancho Thatchmo program from early February, you will hear me reading from my notebooks under the influence of Ginsberg, especially these the segment that appeared on Rancho Thatchmo this past month was the revision techniques of Ginsberg. And I thought it would be good to have Ginsberg on during the pledge program, because Ginsberg was all about generosity. It was a major aspect of his teaching. And there are other reasons as well. You know, I was very lucky to have close contact with him, and he was a fantastic teacher. So the recordings I'm playing are without prominence on the web. I can't say that they're not on the web, but they are in very obscure places on the internet, and I wanted to bring them to bring more attention to them by playing them on this show. So we're going to continue to do that. I'm going to step back from the Gargoyle Mechanique recordings, and I'm going to move on to some of the other Hudson-based recordings. But I wanted to remind you that we are in the midst of this pledge program. And, you know, WGXC, what can I say? Fantastic resource, lots of creativity, adventurous programming, experimental community radio, and that idea that, you know, we all listen to each other's programs, we feed off each other's work. I mean, that's a rare thing. Usually radio is not so intimate and interconnected. So a lot of good reasons to donate to the station. Right now we're looking to add 30 new sustaining supporters to our roster. And so if you value WGXC and any of the programs on this station, you want to keep it as part of your daily life, we ask you make a tax-deductible contribution to keep local and adventurous content freely available in the Hudson River Valley and the online, WGXC.org. So remember website to go make a donation is wgxc.org/donate. So as I mentioned, Ginsberg comes to Hudson in 1994. I was a graduate student in Albany at the time. So we came down to Hudson, and a group of friends of mine and I, and I wrote about this in an entry in my essays and Jacket 2 on audio practice. You can find that. There was a seminar in the afternoon, and there was a very nice reading at Columbia Green in the evening. So I recorded both of these events, and reviewing the seminar this past week, I found four different segments that I thought would be good to play on the radio. One of them had to do with what's called Eastern spiritual movements in the United States. One of them had to do with tuning William Blake. One of them was a section about talking about Whitman and Poe and American literature in the 19th century. But the segment of the seminar that I wanted to play is about advice on writing, and something that Ginsberg put together in 1993 and 1994, which was published, I just have come to learn recently, in a small chapbook called Mind Writing Slogans. And if you look at the Allen Ginsberg blog, which is allenginsberg.org, you can find the links to that and commentary about these. But at any rate, it was at the time it was something new to me. We know about these lists, and in fact, the revision techniques that I read on Thatcher's show was a list, and Ginsberg was good at lists. So anyway, this is a recording that was made in Hudson, New York, in April 1994. Allen Ginsberg on WGXC.
What advice? What advice when you got a poem, Alan, and you know it's no good, it's not working? What do you do?
Write another one.
Go ahead and go forward. I have some advice on writing here, but I got it all boiled down to 84 slogans. Gratis ad panasam.
Got about
anybody?
5-10 minutes.
Well, I don't think we've got a closed situation.
Okay.
One, first thought, best thought. Two, take a friendly attitude toward your thoughts. That relates to the question about whether or not it's appropriate for somebody looking for illumination to write. Take a friendly attitude toward your thoughts. Actually, that's the instructions given by Chögyam Trungpa for meditation practice. If thoughts rise, don't push them away. Take a friendly attitude. Then a quote from via Robert Duncan from John Adams, the founder of our country. The mind must be loose. Then from Olson, one perception must immediately and directly lead to a further perception. Five, Philip Whalen, my writing is a picture of the mind moving. Six, surprise mind. Seven, the old pond, frog jumps in, kerplunk. The mind is the pond, the frog is the surprise thought. From Trungpa, eight, magic is the total delight in chance. In other words, whatever comes up in surprise mind, if you appreciate it, take a friendly attitude toward it and appreciate it, it can be turned to use. As John Cage would point out. And nine, but then there's a problem of inconsistency. Do I contradict myself? Very well, I contradict myself. I am large, I contain multitudes, says Walt Whitman. 10, what quality went to form a man of achievement, especially in literature? Negative capability, that is, when a man is capable of being in uncertainties, mysteries, doubts, without any irritable reaching after fact and reason. It's the same as the Whitman notion. Creeley, Olson, form is never more than an extension of content. Or Frank Lloyd Wright, form follows function. While you were out of the room, I quoted Olson twice, sir. Form is never more than an extension of content, or Frank Lloyd Wright, form follows function. And 13, ordinary mind includes eternal perceptions. And then 14, the corollary of that by Louis Zukovsky. Nothing is better for being eternal, nor so white as the white that dies of a day. It's sort of very Yiddish sounding. Nothing is better for being eternal. Nothing is better for being eternal. Yeah, it could be better if it was, the rose would be better if it stayed on forever. So, nothing is better for being eternal nor so white if the white that dies of a day. So that would be good enough for Andy Warhol. You know, a Brillo can is not better for being eternal, Brillo box. 15, notice what you notice. 16, catch yourself thinking. 17, observe what's vivid. 18, vividness is self-selecting. 19, William Wordsworth, spots of time. 20, if we don't show anyone, we're free to write anything. 21, by Gelug Rinpoche, my mind is open to itself. 22, Charles Reznikov, each on his bed spoke to himself alone, making no sound. So that would be the place you'd look for poetry. So I would say somebody written a bad poem, or a poem they thought was no good. Catch yourself thinking in bed some night while you're going to sleep and see what you're saying to yourself. And the second part is that those are the ground, or the nature of them, relating to the nature of mind, contradiction, chaos, uncertainty, modus cambiantos, the changing mind, surprise mind. And how to deal with that uncertainty or change or contradiction. Or how to select among the thoughts or products of the mind, how do you select what is salient and visible and workable for poetry? So 23 from William Carlos Williams, no ideas but in things, or as he rephrases it in Patterson, no ideas but in the facts. Or again, Williams, close to the nose. 25, Zukovsky, vision or sight is where the eye hits. 26, Williams, clamp the mind down on objects. 27, direct treatment of the thing or object, Ezra Pound. 28, presentation, not reference, Pound. 29, vernacular, give me a for instance. 30, vernacular, show, not tell. 31, Pound, the natural object is always the adequate symbol. 32, things are symbols of themselves. 33, labor well the minute particulars, take care of the little ones. General good is the plea of the scoundrel, hypocrite, and flatterer, for art and science cannot exist but in minutely organized particulars. William Blake. 34, William Butler Yeats, in being old, she put a skin on everything she said. 35, Kerouac, don't stop to think of words, but to see picture better. See the picture better. Don't stop to think of words, but to see the picture better. 36, Kerouac, details are the life of prose. 37, intense fragments of spoken idiom, best. 38, economy of words, found. 39, Gregory Corso, tailoring. 40, maximum information, minimum number of words. 41, syntax condensed, sound is solid. 42, savor vowels, appreciate consonants. 43, compose in sequence of musical phrase, not in sequence of metronome. Pound. Pound, 44, follow the tone leading of the vowels. 45, an attempt to approximate classical quantitative meters, unquote, as the length of vowel, as a measure of the line. 46, lower limit speech, upper limit song, Zukovsky. 47, phanopoeia, melopoeia, logopoeia, Ezra Pound, translated by Zukovsky as sight, sound, and intellect. 48, 49, only emotion objectified endures. Then finally, what's it all for? So the fruition aspect, the ground, the path, now the fruition. 50, spiritus, Latin, equals breathing, equals inspiration, equals unobstructed breath. The word inspiration comes from the Latin root spiritus. 51, alone with the alone, Plotinus. 52, shunyata, Sanskrit, equals ku, Japanese, equals emptiness, English. 53, what's the sound of one hand clapping? 54, what's the face you had before you were born? 55, vipassana, Sanskrit, means clear seeing. 56, stop the world, Carlos Castaneda. 57, the purpose of art is to stop time, Bob Dylan. 58, from Kerouac, the unspeakable visions of the individual. 59, I'm going to try to speak some reckless words and I want you to try to listen recklessly. Chuangzi, translated by Burton Watson. 60, candor, Walt Whitman. 61, one touch of nature makes the whole world kin, Shakespeare. 62, Contact, a magazine edited by Nathaniel West and William Carlos Williams, 1930. Contact. 61, God appears, and God is light, to those who dwell in realms of night. But does a human form display to those who dwell in realms of day? 64, subject is known by what she sees. 65, Others can measure their vision by what we see. 66, candor ends paranoia. 67, willingness to be fooled. Chogyam Trungpa. 68, Gregory Corso, day and night, I'm all right. 69, tiger, symbol of humility or beatness. Lion, symbol of surprise mind. Garuda, crazy wisdom, outrageousness. Dragon, unborn inscrutability, the nature of the mind, i.e. the mind is humble, surprising, outrageous, and inscrutable. You never know what you're going to think next. Pound, 73, to be men, not destroyers. 74, speech synchronizes mind and body, Trungpa. 75, the emperor unites heaven and earth. It's an old Taoist tradition. 76, poets are the unacknowledged legislators of the world, Shelley. 77, make it new, Pound. 78, from Pythagoras. When the mode of the music changes, the walls of the city shake. 79, Shakespeare. Every third thought shall be my grave, Prospero. 80, Shakespeare. That in black ink, my love might still shine bright. 81, Pound. Only emotion endures, as distinct from Zhukovsky's, only emotion objectified endures. Pound has only emotion endures. 82, well, while I'm here, I'll do the work. And what's the work? To ease the pain of living. Everything else, drunk and dumb show. 83, from Carlo Rakosi. Kindness, sweetest of the small notes in the world's ache, most modest and gentle of the elements, entered man before history and became a daily connection. Let no man tell you otherwise. Carl Rakosi. 84, Gelikon Pache, to diminish the mass of human and sentient sufferings. I started working that out at the Europe Institute about a year and a half ago to try and reduce, get a whole structure that led logically one thing to another, led the mind logically one thing to another, using recognizable quotes or pieces of vernacular. I don't know if they all make consecutive sense, but I could explain if I had to.
Allen Ginsberg, as recorded at Columbia Green Community College in April 1994. Earlier I was saying that Ginsberg was known for his generosity, and at the beginning of that segment you may have heard the person who asked the question or was hosting the event, whose name I didn't make note of, said we have 5 or 10 minutes, and Allen Ginsberg said, you know, there's no need to shut the program down. So it's a good example of his generosity, and maybe the kind of generosity that we are looking for here during WGXE's 10th anniversary pledge drive. And I wanted to let you know that for this drive, we have a special 10th anniversary incentive gift for supporters. New WGXE sustaining supporters or existing monthly supporters who increase their current monthly donation during the drive qualify to receive a free ticket to our 10th anniversary drive-in event, which is going to be on May 26, 2021 at the Greenville Drive-In, Greenville. Artists confirmed so far include Stephen Merritt of the Magnetic Fields, Anna Frizz, Brian Dewan, Jen Cutler, Lunar Moss, and Jess Spear, DJ sets from DJ Var, Lunar Moss, Battlefield Earth, and others. So if you're interested in getting, you should go to that anyway, but if you want to get a free ticket, qualify to receive a free ticket, please either up your sustaining supporter level or become a sustaining supporter. So back to Ginsberg. We're You know, I mentioned, I thought it was worth repeating that the first program I ever did in this station was recording of Ginsberg's reading, Columbia Green, and that is up in the WGXC archive, which is such a valuable resource. And these things are not easy to maintain or sustain. The drives cost money and it takes a lot of effort, personal effort, engineering effort. So running a station and running a big archive is costly. So we do need donations from you. And there's so much rich content out there. Years and years of valuable content on WGXC archive. So every so often we have to ask for everyone out there to pitch in. I hope you will be able to do that. Let's go get back and to the program, the programming of the program, and Ginsberg's. We're going to go back to the Gargoyle Mécanique reading in which was in New York in 1991. And Gargoyle Mécanique was a storefront theater on Avenue B that I had some association with through the band I was playing in at the time, having done some gigs there while on tour. And it's a collective organization, very interesting, creative people, with pretty much some kind of performance there each and every night. Very exciting time and place. And now, of course, it's all gone by the by. It's practically, this is practically 30 years since then. And I can't say the last time I went by there, but you know, Gargoyle Mécanique changes, everything changes. Ginsberg's no longer with us, but we're trying to, you know, keep things going here at WGXC. I hope you enjoyed the Ginsberg programming. It's always a pleasure to present Alan's work and these recordings I've made over the years. Next month, I'm going to try to get back with some live programming. Stay tuned for that. And in the meantime, be well, stay safe through the winter, and we'll catch up with you next month. Allen Ginsberg, WGXC.
Flowers aim crookedly for the straight death. Humility is beatitude. The beatific generation. I'm reading in and out of little fragments from poem. Anyway, the time has come to explain the golden eternity and how the iridescent paraphernalia of radiating candles ceases when meditation ceases. Because I know what it's like to die, to cease meditating. One day I died. I fainted, actually. I was stooping, smelling strapping flowers in the cosmos yard of my mother's cozy flower house in Uffinshire in Queens, and stood up fast, taking a deep breath. Blood rushed from head. Next thing I knew, woke up flat on my back in the grassy sun and had been out 5 minutes. And I had seen the golden eternity. The lamb was alone with the lamb. The babe was alone with the baby lamb. The shroud was alone with the golden shroud. I was alone with God, who is God, who is me, who was all. He stood high on a hill overlooking Mexico City, radiating messages out of a white teot. Northport, 1958. A sudden sketch poem. Locke McCorkle's shack, April 1956. This is in Marin County. Locke McCorkle had a shack up on the hill where Gary Snyder and Kerouac lived together, wrote haikus, and this is a sketch poem, sudden sketch poem, of the shack and Snyder's possessions. Gary's sink has a shroudy burlap. The rub brush tinware plout leans on right side like a red woman's hair. The faucet leaks little love drops. The teacups upside down with visions of green mountains and brown, lousy Chinese mysterious up heights. The frying pan still wet. The spoons by two petals of flour. The wash rags hung on the edge like bloomers. I don't know what to say about the dishpan. The soap, the sink itself inside or what, is hidden underneath the bomb burlap, shroud flap. except two onions and an orange, an old wheat germ, wheat meal, the hoodlatch heliograph with a cross that makes the devil hiss, ah, the upper coral sen-sen soups and fast condiments, curries, rices, roaches, reels, tin, tip, plastickets, toothbrushes and armies of insulated shiller, squozen gumdrop, paste pans, light of marin, pichiar, magic dancing lights of gray and white, and all for verse I wrote it. Hitchhiker. This might be in the scattered poems already. Trying to get to sunny California. Boom. It's the awful raincoat making me look like a self-defeated, self-murdering imaginary gangster. An idiot in a rueful coat. How can they understand my damp packs, my mud packs? Look, John, a hitchhiker. Well, he looks like he's got a gun underneath that IRA coat. Look, Fred, that man by the road. Some sex fiend got in print in 1938 in sex magazines. You found his blue corpse in the green shade edition with axe blots. Actually, that's, I think, that's in prose in Big Sur. Poor sottish Kerouac. Poor sottish Kerouac with his thumb in his eye, getting interested in literature again, though a mote of just, getting interested in literature again, though a mote of dust just flew by. How should I know that the dead were born? Does master cry? The weeds Ophelia wound with and Chatterton measured in the moon are the weeds of Goethe, Wang Wei, and the golden courtesans. Imagine recommending a prefecture for a man in the madhouse. Rain. The prefecture would be the emperor sent the poet Tutungpo to be the governor of a specific prefecture. Imagine recommending a prefecture for a man in the madhouse. Rain. Sleep well, my angel. Make some eggs. The house in the moor is the house in the moor. The house is a monument in the moor of the grave, whatever that means. The white dove descended in disguise. Tulipo and Shehan. Now I'll dream of a rooster and go. Long Island Chinese poem Rain, 1961. The years are hurrying. Autumn rains fall on my awning. My accomplishments mean nothing to me. My girl no longer visits me. Maybe because I got warts on my cock, or she found a younger man with a smooth cock. I can look up anything in my wine bottle. Whitman was happy about something around here, followed by millions sick. Whitman was happy about something around here, followed by millions sick. What, Whitman say? The headlines of 10 days ago no longer interest me. Rugs woven lovingly end on garage crates. The white duff. Dove desecrated in desuetude, and who wants wisdom? The world is an eraser for these words. Ah, sad Bodhidharma, you were right. Everything we loved disappeared. Everything we loved disappeared. Nobody in the chair, nobody in the books, nobody in the rain. Small, a silly, Goofball Poems is the title. The spider monkey is a little fool. The Pekingese doll is a dog. The dachshund is a snake full of love. The Siamese cat is an angry monkey. The woman is a cellular mesh of lies as well as a scratcher. The woman has a dark blossom between her thighs. The Buddha is known. The Messiah is unborn. The boll weevil is a pants rotter. The ant a warrior. The worm is a long history oozing out of who? Moo, woo. The dog is a god. The dog is a balker. The leopard is incontinent, said Dante, free from the severity of leopard. The angel rules the jungle. Blake is Blake. The cow has its own way with water, and the tick sticks in your hair and swells. The shark, I never saw. The purple asp baboon is insane. The sparrow is a little gray bird. The chimpanzee is wise. The American, a sniper. The gull, a bringer of snail shells. The parrot, I love. The snail knows the unborn void of Tao, and that's why he left his house for gull. The seabird is all belly. Crows are dawn singers. The bee hums busily. The frog leaped out of water. The abominable snowman is not abominable at all. He doesn't hurt anybody. The rat has many theories. The spider means money. The fly has 7 million brothers. The seal is on my roof. The goose goes north. The robin ends the spring. Caterpillar waits. The nightingale I have been. The mockingbird loves TV aerials. The rabbit, the vulture trails the puma. The wolf snaps the bear, the lizard, the eel, the octopus. The tapeworm, the finger, the cock, the germ, the fingernail, the wall. The swordfish has a beak of wood. The lobster is friendly. The flea leaps. The cockroach is reverenced. The bedbug rolls. Poem. Be me, be spangled, dotted hat fool. Jump upside down, Pandora. Leap above. Make burping kings laugh for I'd. Remember? I'd rather piss on a scroll than parch this. Neil in court. All Neil's life has been hard and harsh. People don't believe him, and he's all alone. Look at his bones in courthouse scenes. And look at the pictures of his railroad track and judge, and have secret witnesses against his misery. Braven, craven, nobody cares. Hates to lose their jobs, put old Cassidy in jail. But he sits, bong, Buddha, hands Catholic crossed in the witness chair. And the afternoon wears on in the schoolhouse kitty court of old black velvet angels with white hair and tassels in their caps. He did make the joint, facts of coupling. You give a sign to the engineer. He's got them beat with his young composure. Exhibit number 4 shows the long ladder and the brake platform where he fell and cracked his ankle. He nods and listens patiently to the prosecutor's counsel, smiling, speaking civilly for the society of ladies in respective settlements, and has an aging chin. The Jewish stenographist writes unconcerned. In silent machine shorthand and watches sexily the lips of speaking men and frowns to catch the last word spoken in eternity, eyes gazed on suit lapel and burping to look down. Papers rustle, people cough, Ivan's not here to turn all pale, nor Dmitri but to shout, "You all try to kill your fathers, the immortal lout!" So have another beer, Neil. Your money, big or small, will come, and when come, you'll have only a few more years, like Raven, more or less, to hang on. For you've done it all before in Bill Brayer and Burlingame and Samarkand, Chandrapur, Jamie, Kathy, Johnny, all were before. Redwood, Belmont, and Nameless, too. Harsh harbors, duties, flower cars, and bums. Don't let the punk in smart brown suit who can't lick you in street fights screw you out 1,000 in this million years of strife. The moose of heaven's looking down. East end of the rail, west end of the ram, the stars are looking down on all your pain and tears, and Allen Ginsberg loves you, and Carolyn too. Let old Raven lie, we'll hang him in the sea. Fog will kiss him, make him shiver, bones will belie his choral deficiency. Insincere and sad, the world's a farce to stand and sneer at, on the corner of Snark and Fnark. San Francisco City Hall, March 30th, 1954. Cassidy had stopped a train wreck by jumping in between the cars and turning the brake wheel, breaking his ankle. And so this was a suit for money for that. Poem, a poem, P-O-I-M, walking on water. Nothing ever happened, not ever happening. True story, new story, old and new, holy baloney, holy cow, holy cats, wow, whatever, to the feast, storybook, book, story words. Anyway, it happened. Nothing happened. Everybody invited. Mexican loneliness. And I am an unhappy stranger grooking in the streets of Mexico. My friends have died on me. My lovers disappeared, my whores banned, my bed rocked and heaved by earthquake, and no holy weed to get high by candlelight and dream, only fumes of buses, dust storms, and maids peeking at me through a hole in the door, secretly drilled to watch masturbators fuck pillows. I am the gargoyle of Our Lady dreaming in space gray mist dreams. My face is pointed towards Napoleon. I have no form. My address book is full of RIPs. I have no value in the void, at home without honor. My only friend is an old fag without a typewriter, who, if he's my friend, I'll be buggered. I have some mayonnaise left, a whole unwanted bottle of oil, peasants washing my skylight, a nut clearing his throat in the bathroom next to mine 100 times a day, 100 times a night, sharing my common ceiling. If I get drunk, I get thirsty. If I walk, my foot breaks down. If I smile, my mask's a farce. If I cry, I'm just a child. If I remember, I'm a liar. If I write, the writing's done. If I die, the dying's over. If I live, the dying's just begun. If I wait, the waiting's longer. If I go, the going's gone. If I sleep, the bliss is heavy. The bliss is heavy on my lids. If I go to cheap movies, the bed bugs get me. Expensive movies I can't afford. If I do nothing, nothing does. Old Western movies. A judge in the West coming from the South with Ruby Sideburns, boy. A judge in the West coming from the South with Ruby Sideburns, boy. Always using flowery language, L-A-N-G-U-I-G, J. Always using flowery language. The girls fighting heroes' troubles are always private. He wants to know where I fit in herd wars. Sometimes you see villains so ancient, you saw them in infancy exaggerating in snow. Their mustache is looking older than your father's grave. Thanks, Marshal, I reckon. I guess I better run on back to Whiskey Row, Colorado, and marry an old Tim McCoy gal or turn off the television, one. You gotta go a long way in the West to find a good man. So close the book. The Courier, run by Steve, is a paper wearing a sunbonnet. Drive the cattle through that silver wall. Help ladies to their hearse. Mouth in the sun. That ought to go do till the Mexican dry gulcher finds Red Wing in the shack and Quacutles menstruate. That ought to do till Mexican dry gulcher finds Red Wing in the shack and Quacutles menstruate. Old horses' necks by broken fences. Guns gone rust. I guess the gang got shot. Kid dream hid in the leaves. Oh. Goofball blues. I'm just a human being with a lot of shit on my heart. My ambition was not to be a great lover, but that's what I am. Even in dream, fiancés of other men bawl on my joint. And I am the flying horse of Maine Mo. When I'm an old man, my grave will rot me. The ones I loved were crazy without knowing why. When I'm old, I'll yawn in the flannel grave. The Last Hotel. I think this is on the record. The Last Hotel. I can see the black wall. I can see the silhouette in the window. He's talking. I'm not interested in what he's talking about. I'm only interested in the fact that it's the last hotel. The last hotel. Ghosts in my bed. The goats I bled. The Last Hotel. So I guess that's about it. It's half an hour of Kerouac.